Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now together to serve you better, and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
Look good, feel good, play good. If all of that is true, then everything at Ohio State starts with this guy right here, the Director of Football Equipment Services, Kevin Reese, joining us on The Beat, presented by the Waterworks. I'm Austin Ward. That's Jeremy Birmingham, who is, I think, in Nirvana back here. We are in the heart of it all. Kevin, everyone is excited about these stripes.
Absolutely.
How are you feeling? It's like a 12-year mission.
Absolutely. So we're going back through and literally since 2013, Heritage Stripes to now Buckeye Stripes have always been part of the conversation. And then as we got into this iteration, I mean, really, it was a three-year process from the idea standpoint to finally releasing them last week. So a long culmination of a process, but excited the way that it turned out and excited for everyone.
You hear about it from the fans. You hear about it from the players. You've heard about it from Urban Meyer, Ryan Day. Like, yeah, you have a lot of bosses and a lot of people who want things to look great. And I know that that starts with you. That's your job as well, because you want the team to look good and you want the best stuff. And to have something like this come where the reaction feels like to me has been universal approval. How gratifying has that been for you?
No, it's been great. And again, it's never about us. We're just here to get things done.
You hate this right now. Kevin actively hates.
We're the behind the scenes group, and we don't want to be seen, but take a lot of pride in what we do and who we do it for, and what it means on a football Saturday. We definitely hear it. With Coach Laurinaitis, I mean, even when he got back into town and was doing media stuff, he'd be walking around the practice field and, you know, get on me about bringing the stripes back. And I said, well, they are back. They're in elevated games, big moments, like all the time. So,
and James is kind of a fashionista. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to ask you. Part of it is because every time we take a photo of James Laurinaitis, he's wearing something that appears entirely custom for him. And I know he's working on some other stuff outside of even this building as far as the branding and how the program will be presented. But when you get a coach like him and he comes in and says, hey, I want a silver bullet hat or I want a hoodie with a silver bullet, how does it work? Like, the jersey notwithstanding, these are awesome, by the way. I love like the blockos. All the little stuff is so
calm cool. down, man.
But like, can you walk people through the process of your interaction with Nike to say, hey,
sure,
we'd like this and here's how do we get it?
Yeah. So everything, I mean, starts as an idea. So it's whether it's myself, you know, Kevin Nerl, Tim Roberts in the equipment room, whether it's Ethan Miller from our creative staff or Andy DeVito, Joe Gemma over the athletics creative, starts with an idea. And then obviously we want to put it to print, to artwork, and then we kind of we'll send it. We do like to create ideas here because we feel like we have the best pulse of kind of what's hitting with the fans, what's hitting with the community, what's, you know, with the culture of Ohio State. So Nike's been a great partner in terms of just really curating our ideas of kind of, you know, and using their ingenuity and their materials to put it to life. But yeah, it's a process. Idea, you know, to art, to then getting Nike involved with their designers and their creators, getting samples made, approving it and going through university trademark and licensing, getting all that approved, then getting physical samples and then doing the order process. So nothing happens quick. So, you know, from a ordering window, by the time you even have the samples and the approvals, you're still a year away from physically getting the order that you placed in.
I think people would be surprised. So last season, for example, if you're like, well, where are they going to wear the black jerseys this year? There's the blackout game scheduled, but yet there's no black jerseys. And we had spoken back in the summer, and you guys didn't even have black jerseys in the building. Like, you couldn't have had them.
Yeah.
So how does that process of being like, oh, this is when we decide we're wearing this for this game, does that start now, or is that... I remember being in high school, you'd be like, okay, guys, what jersey do you want to wear this week? And then you decided on Tuesday morning or something, you know? So how does that actually work? Because I think people were super confused last year when there's a blackout game and there's no black jerseys.
Yes, no. So I think last year we were, you know, trying to elevate the atmosphere of the shoe within games and trying to take away of, like, the atmosphere of the stadium didn't necessarily have to match what we were wearing on the field. So there are different themes of the games. And again, you know, we're tied to TV schedules and network world of how many night games we have and when a blackout happens. And,
2 week
you know,
windows.
We would never plan or want to wear a black uniform at noon, and we do not plan to wear this black uniform at noon. I can promise you that. Now, again, we don't have our evening schedule. We don't have our prime time schedule. We waited that the Nebraska game where we wore it at noon. I mean, if you look back, I think it was mid-November. Like, we waited to the last second of, you know, usually we get 14-day time windows. You get the early, you know, the Fox picks, you know, where we have Texas and up north, you know, already announced, but we don't have any other announcements yet. So, you know, we zero in and kind of have thoughts on where the moments would elevate. But again, now we just really wanted to set the closet and have it available. Yeah. And again, once we have that 2 week time window, we can kind of really address it at that point instead of making a 6 month plan and really rolling it out.
I think you told me once, Kevin, this is sort of been the timeline that I've thrown out. It's going to take a minimum of 18 months once you have that idea to see it all the way through to a finished product like this. And I know it can be longer than that. It doesn't seem like it can be much shorter. So when you have these ideas, because I think back to the Land of the Wolves jersey, and it's like, well, they don't use that anymore. Yeah. They had the idea and they might incorporate it, but you won't get that season. What you sort of touched on everything that has to happen along the way. Why is it that takes a year and a half to go to fruition?
Sure. So usually, you know, from the idea phase of people sitting in an office and coming with the idea, we usually take 4 to 6 months to make that idea into some sort of physical sample. So there's 6 months of the 18 months and then the year timeline of just ordering. So from a placement order with Nike, they're really ordering raw materials. So really where the current iteration of the Buckeye Stripe started from was a trip out to Nike in May of 2023. And, you know, world headquarters is a giant campus and off the campus is where our uniforms are made. And I said, well, can I go over there? So I went in there and, you know, that day, who runs the factory, they said, you're the first college equipment manager to ever come through here. And I was like, everyone needs to see this. And honestly, I didn't have an idea of, I thought majority of the jersey would be put together and they're putting on numbers and names on it. And there are rolls of fabric on the wall and a giant laser cutting machine that is cutting the swatches of the fabric and then everyone stitching these pieces together. I mean, it was a crazy operation to see and really to get an idea of that whole process. So again, yes, when that year starts of placing the order, I mean, you're talking about simply just ordering the color of the fabric and the things that are going to need. So that gives them 2 to 3 months to buy the bulk fabric to make the running uniforms, and then another 4 to 5 months to actually, you know, stitch them all together and then get them to us for the following season. So
sometimes what we hear from fans is like, well, Nike just needs to be able to give Ohio State whatever they want, whenever they want. They're the most valuable brand. As you described that, you've been out there, you've been on their campus, you've worked with them for years at this point. How valuable of a partner has Nike been, continue to be? Because I say all the time, they're not leaving. Ohio State is not going up for bid. Like, that's not going to happen.
No, I think, you know, we're one of their premier partners, and we feel that way anytime you talk to them. And Nike is being a multi-billion dollar company, but their college football division and the silos that they have that literally are, you know, specifically whether it's footwear, there's a team of 12 people that we deal with from footwear to then uniforms has its own team, sideline apparel has its own team, to the administration and those types of levels of people that are solely focused on Ohio State and the relationship. And again, it's just not football. It's, you know, the 36 sports here that, you know, Nike is able to curate, you know, elite uniforms and training apparel and attire for every athlete that we have at Ohio State. So the relationship's been great. The new CEO is a huge college football guy. So he has, you know, I'm getting text messages during games, not from the CEO, but they're coming from the CEO to the different levels and really just has his eyes on college football on Saturdays. So it's really energizing the college football group at Nike, and they're able to kind of elevate. And again, when you have a CEO that loves watching Saturdays, we'll have a little few more things that start popping up throughout the year. So super excited.
You've been around here a long time. We've seen you around here a long time. How does one get into this side of the sport? What was your aspiration when you were a younger person in sports and saying, hey, I want to be involved in college football in some way? How does this become the path? Like, if there's a young Kevin out there watching this episode and they're like, man, that seems like an unbelievably cool job. How does someone find this niche?
Yeah.
Niche.
No, so
Mitch.
I grew up 15 minutes from campus. So I grew up on the west side of Columbus, went to St. Mary Magdalene, Bishop Reedy, went away for college, thought I'd go to Ohio State, maybe got deferred for a quarter, decided I will go away.
He's not bitter about it.
Maybe a little road bump in that plan.
Yeah.
So went to Xavier down in Cincinnati and got involved with the basketball program. So I was a student manager, which was kind of nice at a smaller school like Xavier. So it was the Sean Miller days and era down there. We didn't have an equipment department down there. So as a manager, we were handling all the uniforms and packing and apparel and helping the coaching staff and administration kind of do this. So again, loving sports my entire life, loving the Buckeyes my entire life, like getting at the ground level and still being a part of it at age 41 to, you know, was never the elite athlete to go play the collegiate level and just staying involved. So, yeah, after college, you got an internship with the Seattle Seahawks in 2008 and 2009, had the opportunity to come back to Ohio State in the fall of 2009 as an intern, worked Olympic sports for three seasons with baseball, wrestling, gymnastics, then came down to football in 2012 and took over in 2013. So
I want to ask a lot of questions about some of the details of these jerseys, which we're going to do. I think hopefully we're going to take a little tour around here. And
if Kevin lets us, there's a lot of secrets.
And I'll ask some of the more specific questions there. But with these new core group uniforms, is it a situation where there's the scarlet and there's the white? We know those are going to be the majority. Is it just randomly decide one week, hey, you know what, let's wear the scarlet pants, let's wear, like, how do you decide what becomes the standard uniform when you have now what you call the core five, right?
So I've been saying this is kind of a set closet, so we just have them as they're available when the time or the moment comes. For the conversation of five uniforms over 12 weeks, that's a lot. Again, we are probably not trending that direction to being wearing different uniforms, different combinations each week. Ohio State, the standard look is such a traditional look that we don't want to muddy that. But there will be some moments that we feel like we can kind of elevate it. You know, with the, you know, the Scarlet Rush, or I'm not all in tune of what we're calling them, and the Sub-Zero,
Sub-Zero
Scarlet Rush.
Tunnel vision. Fans like to call it a little something else, but we're going with Sub-Zero.
You have that Scarlet Rush, the Tunnel Vision all right here.
Home and Away is what I call the others.
So yeah, so there's some concepts, you know, with Nike where whether it's a footwear activation, they call them energy moments, where there's a footwear activation or a accessory activation where we wouldn't necessarily want to add those to our core uniform.
Right. It'll give us some special LeBron.
It'll give us some ability to maybe, you know, activate some of those energy moments with a different uniform, and again, and keeping our core uniforms looking as standard and traditional as can be.
I'm curious, because we live in a social media world, we live in a world where everybody now with AI, with the ability to use Photoshop, what is the worst concept uniform you've ever seen?
No bad ideas,
so
right?
The question is, how much does social media and things that you guys have seen or that Joe has seen over the years from random people putting stuff together, how much of that do you guys actually pay attention to? Be like, hey, actually, that would be a good idea.
I would say we probably pay attention to it too much.
Yeah.
But again, give credit to everyone that cares out there. We do like to have the pulse of what's going on and what people are looking for. But understand, you know, we have to control the at the end of the day that we're not getting too crazy. We've seen a few out there that are different combinations that, again, we'll look at it and think about it. But again, we have five, or now we're going to have eight or seven or eight or nine. And like, how far is too far? So again, setting that core closet and then kind of, you know, lead into the future. You know, we're already talking 2028 and some ideas with Nike. So really want to give this core set a couple years to settle in, and then we'll look into some other options down the road.
All right, with Kevin's permission, we're going to take a look at that closet a little bit closer. We're going to shift to a more notebook style. Kevin has appeared on that a couple times before. I know he really loves that. But we'll take a closer look at these combinations and maybe the pain, pressure that goes with putting on helmet stickers every week. I don't know. We'll see what else we can get back here when we come right back here on The Beat presented by the Waterworks. All right, switching into a notebook style breakdown here with Kevin Reese in the equipment room. And we've got them all laid out here. I only see four. That's not a core five. All right. What?
We got the five.
show us some of the newer details. It was described, you know, in sort of the press release and posted on social media, but what does this actually look like in practice? What are the new things that we should be looking for?
Sure. So obviously, you know, all eyes are going to turn to the stripes. So, you know, the kind of the new reflective silver, and this is different material and application than what has been used in the past. So if you compare it to the old style heritage stripe, now to the Buckeye stripe, it's a little duller. This is actually a screen print, so just paint. Cracks over time. We're hoping that this kind of holds its color and tune throughout the season and looks good. So just kind of a modern element to update into the Buckeye stripe. I guess even more comparison, these have the old, this is the championship swoosh. This is TPU material on the Big Ten logo, the Blocko, and then the Nike swoosh. So it's kind of a rubberized material that's kind of stitched down. So again, gives it a little bit more modern feel than the old school direct stitch where peels and picks throughout the season. Name font changes slightly. I think it's a little closer to, you know, your traditional Ohio State block lettering in comparison to the O's. It'll be more rounded up, kind of like the Block O in that world. And then going to the inside collar, the festoon, where, you know, sometimes there's mantras that go there that might not last for a while, but we feel like the stadium that's been there for over 100 years, the festoon is a safe pick and safe choice. And thinking and doing some research of what the festoon and where they put it in the Coliseum and the momentum behind it and the passion and energy and victory that it signifies, I think was a cool little nod to the history of the stadium and uniforms.
What else was up for debate in here? Anything?
Inside or, collar.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot of times that's where you see the mantras. And I don't know if this one has it. In some of the CFP jerseys, we'll put fight. That's a, you know, kind of a current mantra. And those things are just added really 6 weeks before the game. So we understand the mantra is going to be. I can stitch. I can make holes disappear. It's about, I'm not going to be able to make you a nice bag or anything. But we do our in-house repairs here. I can put nameplates on and do that type of stuff. But yeah. So, I mean, carried over similar to the blacks and to the reds, again, with the same materials through. Slight change on the red pants. Just adding the gray to the stripe, just thought that it was kind of a better look with, instead of going red, adding red and kind of getting lost and kind of matching.
Does it ever amaze you? Because people were, you know, reacting and thumbs up, whatever, to these. And the first thing a lot of people said, well, I don't know how I feel about the stripe on the pants. Like, that's different. Like, they pick it up immediately.
Yeah. I feel about it.
They pick it up immediately. It always amazes me.
We thought the red was a little bit too red and we wanted to kind of go back to where the on the jersey the stripe is white and gray, so we wanted to kind of tie it more back into the jersey stripes.
Why is this material not the same as this material?
I don't think this would last. It's not as stretchy as, again, there's not a lot of mobility, you know, you have a little bit of seam or whatever, but down the, I have not seen that application really printed in. This is kind of stitched on and this is actually part of the fabric. It's not screen printed or anything. It's sublimated into the pant just for active wear and how much stretch it would be in the pants. And I guess we haven't talked much about the difference in the black helmet. This was kind of a late add and change, and this was something that really just came out in the last 6 weeks and working with our partners up at Riddell, Justin Standen it's nice to have these companies in Ohio that, you know, they're fans of the program and really are invested in the process and the product. So when we were going back, we knew we were going to get the black uniform. This was the original black helmet that was kind of just a matte color, you know, painted on stripe. And we said, you know, how can we, if we're bringing all the new current sets of uniforms really into the 2026 and, you know, bringing it into the future, and setting it as a core uniform, what can we pull from the core helmet, the silver helmet, into the black helmet? And that's where we added the flake is what we call it. So we started as the normal silver flake and it was really, really bright. So this is actually a half flake, but we think it'll kind of be a nice touch in under the lights in the shoe and kind of pick up from C-Deck. You'll see the black helmet shine a little bit more.
So the game helmets will all still have Buckeyes down here, correct?
Buckeyes on the back, and then we'll change the front bumper to do the Blocko, which we're still adjusting to get a little larger.
Because you also got a spring press conference shout out from Ryan Day for these, I assume these are the practice helmets
that
have the nameplates on the back. Or
absolutely. Honestly, it was selfishly for me to learn the new team.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought maybe it could help the coaches as well as we're standing out there. And if they need to yell at someone or holler at someone and not putting a new jersey number to a hidden face. So we would throw a name on the back of it, back of the helmet. Thought aesthetically it looked better than, you know, athletic tape across the front of a Guardian cap. So
yeah,
we actually think and the players thought they were like awesome. So I think we're going to keep it through on a practice helmet. Helps us find the helmets if they randomly are left somewhere. So we used to have the names on the inside, but no, it's a good look and we'll carry that through.
All right. Yeah. That was a very cool idea. It was helpful for the media as well. There were a lot of new faces. What's the coolest part of being back here? Take us around here.
Yeah, so, you know, we've talked about the Nike relationship. So this is kind of the time of year where we're going to get all the 2026 season stuff in. So we get all the stuff in really in July and August, and we need a place to store it to go through. So our space square footage here isn't great. So we go floor to ceiling anywhere we can. So if you can see, we don't have a whole lot of space left, but our whole job here is to organize everything. So got a bunch of hanging racks. So as you can see, we've liquidated most of our other striped jerseys and ready to receive the new Buckeye stripes when they start showing up in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
So they're still gray.
These are still grays that we're holding off. These are still active members of the team that they'll receive them, you know, after graduation. So we'll hold on to those. You'll see the new practice jerseys. We added the stripes, and we've been working on that actually for 2 years, trying to just elevate. We watch NFL practices and the jerseys look a little elevated than just a stock standard color out there. Yeah. So we've been pushing Nike to add some stripes to, so it worked out well in the rollout and kind of teasing it at the spring game. So we'll carry the stripes over to practice jerseys. So yeah, all hanging stuff here. These are all practice bins, extra practice jerseys. These all are modular, so they roll. Wire bins keep everything organized by sizes, going down large, X, double, triple. So this is all base layer stuff for practices. Obviously, every element of practice where you get down further into the thermals and the cold weather stuff. So again, trying to keep it as organized as we can and make sense of where we're grabbing it from.
Now, Bobby was complaining about having to go buy his own socks 20 years ago. That doesn't look like that's an issue anymore.
I think I'm still paying Bobby back weekly, monthly for his socks. So he has not bought any underwear or socks in the last 10 years because he comes here to get it. So this is now more kind of your training apparel from the athlete perspective and on-field coaching stuff. So starting to get in some of the new product for next season.
Now I see Buckeye leaves are marked down here. Is that happens back here?
That's under lock and key and facial recognition to get into it. All of our helmet kind of workshop area back here. So these are the official Buckeye leaves.
That doesn't look like enough.
No, so this is left over from last year. So we have not got our new order in for next season. So great company, local company, School Pride in Westerville. So do it all in-house there. And it's good to support a local group that, again, takes pride in, you know, what they do and see on the field on Saturdays. And we're happy to use them and support. And yeah, so back here is kind of helmet workshop. So every face mask imaginable. And as soon as we get a ton of stock in, they change the face mask and everyone wants the newer style. So we have to go get a new custom mask. So mask, visors, helmet stock, different parts of the helmets, stored.
Does anybody actually wear the Oakley visors on this program? Because I don't think I've ever seen them.
So we probably cover any non-Nike marks that are on the field. So
they probably do that.
That probably makes sense.
Yes. So there's my sewing machine. So that's where the holes disappear. So that's where we can, not very fancy, but we can do that. This is the James Laurinaitis area where we customize all of his apparel over there. So we can, again, create designs. You can see his silver bullets there on the table as well. The spring game logos. So stuff that we can just do in-house.
Have you taught him how to do that himself? Or are you just getting, you have to do it?
He's an idea creation, so then we have to know how to implement the ideas and put it into stock. But we also then see when you guys tweet after practice and how well these things would do at retail. So we're still working on a better alignment. But again, knowing the timelines and production of stuff, it's really hard for, we can do it here in 30 seconds and put a logo on something, and it takes retail 9 to 12 months to do it. So,
okay. I'm worried if I give Burn this microphone that you'll be here for 30 more minutes. So I don't know.
Are there any plans, you can ask, are there any plans to wear a different color helmet other than black at any point?
Not in the foreseeable future. So.
You tried.
I mean, it's fine.
Is that what you want?
No, I
want
to know, with the tunnel vision jerseys, why not wear just the silver helmet and the silver pants and mix in the black as just a standard jersey at times?
Yeah, so I think...
Is it possible?
Anything's possible. We'll give you that. But no, I think when we go black, we feel like mixing and matching, we truly want to just lean into all black everything on that look. But again, it's part of the closet, so we can always dip in. Yeah.
What do you want to see, Burn?
I want to show people that.
Well, they don't play the Aviators. That's not an opponent.
But like, they have helmets of teams Ohio State has played over the years. Well, what is the value? I mean, you said sometimes it's just the EQ staffs are like, hey, it's like exchanging jerseys after the game, right?
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. So, yeah, usually pregame. So majority of the time when non-conference games, when you play those bigger opponents, it's always a equipment little trade on Fridays or Saturday mornings that we'll keep in here. We kind of ran out of space. We used to have, I don't know, upwards of 100, 150. Yeah. So we need to clear out some space. So kept some of the top tier institution helmets out there and kept all the Big Ten helmets. Our most recent addition is the Columbus Aviator helmet up there in the corner. So,
Hey, Berm, look back in this corner. There's our friend, the Illabuck. He hangs out in this office. Now we know.
Maybe you guys can help. We are trying to still find a engraver for the Illabuck.
Okay.
So it used to be an on-campus group that is now defunct. So fun story. We didn't really know where the Illabuck lived until about 2 weeks before the game this year.
I heard that was the case, there was a bit of a scramble.
So we were able to find it, I think, through Instagram, connected some dots. So we're not going to let go of the Illabuck. That's why it lives in the equipment room. It's our emotional support animal in here. But we still are trying to figure out how to engrave the score.
I posited, Kevin, that was a brand new Illabuck for that game.
I was going to bring back the live turtle. That was going to be the case. But
then you'd have to take care of the turtle.
And then I guess one last spot.
Okay.
Clear my name a little bit in the local media to
do that
of how we scan feet to ensure proper footwear sizing.
Where did that come from, I wonder?
So we have been scanning feet since 2016 here at Ohio State. So this is kind of what we do on day one when the student athletes come in here. So we really customize things from the ground up. The scanner will kind of go down to a millimeter of kind of their foot size. The big thing that we find, obviously, in size of the shoe, but also the width of their foot, so we can customize it. Where you go to Dick's Sporting Goods and it's kind of a stock cleat, we have the ability to customize and order different widths of the cleats to ensure our guys are protected in that world. So same thing with helmets. Everything is custom fit here. So this is really kind of our science area of where we bring technology into the protective aspect of what we do. So every helmet that we do is going to be custom fit, custom scan. I can do it as on my phone. And then the newer edition here, we're doing custom orthotics that used to take more 5 to 7 days. Now it takes 5 to 7 minutes where we can mold some feet, go back here, bake in some insoles, stand on them and go from there. So instead of being, as soon as something either arises, we can address it immediately. Same things with shoulder pads, the different options and we'll go from there.
What was your phone like when the Jackson Smith and Jigba cleat story emerged?
So I said earlier, I cut my teeth in Seattle. So, EK, who's out there, I mean, I call him the godfather of equipment. He felt extremely sorry about what should not have said a name. And I promise you, Jackson didn't wear 12 here.
Yeah.
And going back, cleats fit differently. I go back to whatever he's wearing in the Rose Bowl seemed to work. I think if he was in a size, two sizes too big, he probably would have had blister issues freshman, sophomore year before any other issues came in. So I was pretty confident with the footwear. But again, very important part. And if you go back to the clip, it was all part of different things that they do from training to stretching to different things. So, but definitely took the media and went viral real quick and just kind of stayed silent behind it. Knowing internally, we know what we do.
Yeah.
And, from a leading edge in protection for the guys and we'll take care of it.
Berm, here's more of your helmets hiding out back here. So.
Oh, yeah. Some We're running out of space.
Yeah, there you go. All right. This is very cool. Kevin, I wanted to be back here in your sanctuary for a long time. I know that there's a lot of secrets and things that you got to protect. So we're very grateful of you giving us some time and showing us around. You do very important work for the Buckeyes. And I know you don't want the spotlight, but sometimes you deserve it at least once a decade.
No, appreciate you guys. Appreciate everyone. Thanks.
For Berm, I am Austin. This is the Football Director of Equipment Services, Kevin Reese. And this has been The Beat presented by The Waterworks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.